Boy, you all are looking good today. I tell you what, you clean up real nice. It's good to be in the presence of the Lord, the house of God. That's why the Bible said I was glad. Amen. I was glad, not mad. I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. I want to welcome a very special guest today, Heaven's Gates House Flames directors, Dwayne and Renee Corbin, and family, friends, etc. Would you mind standing, please? Look at this. Good to have you here. If you don't know about Heaven's Gates, Hell's Flames, you need to. What a tremendous production. And we were blessed many years ago to invite that production into our West location. Oh, I don't remember how long ago it was now, but we saw literally hundreds saved. And you know what was interesting? We created heaven, I guess you guys did this everywhere you went, out of aluminum foil. We still do. Okay. We had just rolls and rolls and rolls of aluminum foil all over the walls, made a tremendous heaven. You know, my brother got saved during Heaven's Gates House Flames. So I'm thankful for that ministry. It's a delight to have you here. Praise God. How many brought your Bible to church? You still do that? All right. Amen. Some of you hold up iPads, other smartphones. You know, I got you. Not a problem. But, you know, we want to go to 1 Kings chapter 17 this morning. And I'm just delighted to be a part of such a great work of God in this place. And I'm delighted to be a part of your life. And I am so thankful that you came into my life. And, you know, this is a time when we are just not satisfied with the way things have been. I don't know about you, but I'm looking for more. Amen. I'm looking to go beyond, amen, where I've ever been before. And 1 Kings chapter 17 is a story about a prophet that we all remember his name, Elijah. But he came out of obscurity. Suddenly, everybody knew his name. Suddenly, miracles was following his life. And you know why? Because he challenged the controlling, dominating force that was over him and his people. You know, there comes a time in our life where we have to say, enough is enough. And I hope by the time we finish today, you'll be able not only to say it, but shout it and believe that enough is enough. Because when you confront that controlling element over your life, whether it's destroying your marriage or maybe it's an addiction of some kind, you know, this past week has been a challenging week for me. I've done counseling, pastoral counseling now for years, 30-some years. But every time I see a young wife weeping, tears falling down her face, literally shaking and saying, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how I'm going to make it. He's addicted. He's addicted to porn. He's addicted to alcohol. He beats me up. I'm afraid to tell anybody. I think, devil, I just hate you so much. But you know what? I believe there's an anointing. There is an anointing. There is a power of God available for that which is controlling us. I met with a mother this week whose 23-year-old son is addicted to Oxycontin and has lost everything. He's down to just a frail frame of a body left. And he's denying that he's addicted. He's denying that he's taking anything. You know, this is the kind of atmosphere it was when Elijah came forth, because Israel was under a Baal worship experience. Ahab had just cashed in everything with him and was encouraging people to worship Baal. And when Elijah said what he said, when he began to confront that situation, it sent reverberation throughout the whole nation. Listen to what it says. As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word. You see, there is a time coming, just like in the days of Egypt, when God will raise up a Moses to speak to a Pharaoh. There is a time coming in our lives, just like when the days were so evil, God himself regretted that he created humankind. And yet God had a Noah to confront the evil generation that was on the face of the earth. Let me tell you something about 1 John chapter 2 and verse 20. The Bible says that you have an anointing. And there is an anointing in our lives to break every yoke and to lift every burden. How many believe that? You see, I believe that this is a time when we're going to have to get the spirit of Elijah on us and begin to speak to that controlling thing, that dominating force, and say, you know what? I'm not taking it anymore. You know what? I'm not going to do it anymore. And you know, I was able to share that with this young woman, and this past week, you know, this Sunday, he was in church. Not only was he in church, but he began to worship the Lord. And I said, you know what? Sometime you've got to say, I'm not taking it anymore. I'm drawing the line in the sand, and I'm not backing down, and I'm not giving up, because enough is enough. Maybe some of you today need to get to that point in your life where you say, you know what? Enough's enough. I'm tired of dilly-dallying around. I'm tired of being half-baked Christian. I'm tired of letting things control me. My anger get over on top of me. My lust get into me. I'm tired of the carnal appetites to overtake me. Enough is enough. And I want to see the victory. And so soon as Elijah spoke that word, God created something that hadn't existed prior to that. In other words, God came to him and he said, I want you to leave here and I want you to go there. In other words, I prepared for you a place that's not here, it's there. I prepared a place for you by the brook Cherith. I've already talked to some ravens and they're going to feed you in the morning and in the noontime, and they'll bring you a snack at night before you go to bed. And if you get thirsty, just dip your hand in that cool brook and refresh your soul. But you know what? That place was not revealed until Elijah spoke under the anointing to that which was controlling him. Some of us are being controlled by alcohol addictions. Some of us are being controlled by past failures. Some of us are being controlled by fear and fear of man. Some of us are being controlled by our own selfish desires. But you know what? Those things have no power over a believer who has a rod in his hand, who is able to go under the commission of Almighty God and declare, "Let my people go." I want you to look over at the person next to you and just tell them, enough's enough. Yeah, enough's enough. Even if the Philistines are coming down on you, God has a Samson waiting to be anointed by the Holy Spirit. It doesn't matter what situation that we're in. Elijah, out of obscurity, came forth and caused a breaking in a nation. I believe we are on the precipice of something breaking in this nation. Something's got to break in northeastern Ohio. It can't remain the way it's been all these years. How many know that it's time for a change? And what he's looking for is a prophet who will get stirred up and declare with boldness the word of the Lord to that controlling and dominating force that's been over a region far too long. Shout with me, enough's enough. You see, there is the place where God had prepared for Elijah. I believe there is a place for you and me that when we take that stand, we're going to begin to see. Until we take that stand, you'll only be wishing and a-hoping. Now, I have to tell you, this time of the year, we're about fed up with snow and cold. Can I get a witness in here? You know, it's like freezing, then it warms up. It's like, yeah, it's here. And it's like, ha-ha, psych. And then it's cold again. And then snow, and you can't see to drive. And it's like, I got to get out of here. Now, some of you do what a lot of Christians do. You really don't want to pay the price to get out of here. So what you do is you get your little blue plastic swimming pool. And you put it down in the basement. And you buy one of them tropical palm trees. You know, them plastic ones. And you lay it down. Then you go to Kmart and get two bags of sand. And you put sand all the way around the pool. And you get your bikini and your little shorts on. Get your flip-flops on. And you go down and you get some iced tea and you sit in there. Turn the lights down real low because you want to pretend that you're there. But you're really not. You're still here. I don't care if the sand feels good between your toes and you splish-splash in your little pool. You're still here. But God wants us to get out of here and get down there. You know, I don't like Facebook. You know why I don't like Facebook? Because people in Southwest Florida, I have a lot of friends down there, they're always laughing at me. They're always talking about, you need to come down to Florida. It's 84 today. I said, you better shut up, because if I come down there, you're going to wish I'd have stayed here. People that have made it to there are pleading with us who are still here. And we have every reason why we want to remain where we've been. But you know what? The time has come when we are getting fed up. Enough is enough. I've had too much and I can't take it anymore. I'm tired of living half of my Christian potential. I'm tired of just filing in and filing out. I've got to know that there's more in God. I've got to know that His power is real. I want to see blind people see. I want to see the lame walk. I want to see hundreds swept into the kingdom of God when an altar call is given. This morning in the West, when we gave an altar call, near 40 people came to the altars praying and crying out to God because they said enough is enough. But you and I have got to make a decision. You and I have got to make a choice. 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 1, and Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word. Now understand what he was doing. The god Baal controlled the weather. That's what they believed. As a matter of fact, every morning when the sun rose, they thought it was the face of Baal. And they would kiss the sun. They would worship the sun because it brought life to them. They thought that that was Baal's blessing upon them. Understand that the whole region had adopted that thinking. Not only that, but when thunder and lightning came and rain began to descend on the ground and produce the crops, they attributed that blessing to Baal. So here comes Elijah. He walks right in the middle of all that ideology. And he said, let me tell you something. That rain that you've been counting on, it's going to quit. And it's not going to start raining again except by my word. Now, I can imagine that after a while, when you confront issues in your life, I'm not going to walk under fear anymore. I'm not going to let addiction take over my life. I'm going to start loving my family the way God's called me to. I'm tired of being a carnal Christian. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to reach my Christian potential. As soon as you do that, all hell. I said hell, not hail. All hell is going to break loose, right? But thank God it's breaking loose. And that's why God had to tell Elijah, listen, I know what they're going to do. They're going to try and kill you. They're going to try and just step on you. They're going to try to arrest you. They're going to try to just take you and torture you. But I've got a place for you. I've got a place called there. And I've already prepared it. And I want you to get there. Because where you are now is not where I wanted you to be. The place called there is the will of God. The place called there is the place that God has prepared before the foundations of the world. And too many of us are Christians, are just filing in and out and just remaining here. And we've been satisfied with here. But I've got to tell you, I'm not satisfied with here anymore. I've got to get over there. I guess that's why that song so moved me this morning. I'm going to put on my robe and tell the story when I get over there. I got a story to tell. I've got to tell you how God saved me, how He rescued me from myself, how He set me free, broke the chains, opened the prison doors, and gave me hope. You've got to tell the story. You see, this is an amazing story because here the thunder and rain represented the blessings of Baal. And Elijah was saying, that's not the blessing, that's a curse. And Baal is not the true God. Only God is the true God. You know, God has a place called there. You think about it with me in the Bible. No matter if it was Noah and he was in the middle of the judgment of God being poured on the earth, there was an ark. And God said, I want you to get in there. I want you to go to there because I prepared a place for you that's a blessing. No matter how tumultuous your life is, God always has a there that will protect us. Not only that, but think about it with me. Here's a woman by the name of Ruth who came out of Moabite. She was a Moabite. She came out of Moab. And she wasn't even a covenant woman. And here everybody else was starving. There was a famine in the land. Bread started growing and came back. Didn't own no property. All of their house and goods had been given away to relatives. And suddenly Ruth finds her in a field. Finds herself in a field. And she didn't even know that Boaz owned the field. She didn't know Boaz from anybody else. She didn't know that he was about to redeem her. All she knew is that she was in a field. And handfuls on purpose was being left behind. Listen, you may be in the middle of a famine. You may be in the middle of a shortage. You may be in the middle of not enough. Come on. But God has a field over there for you and me where there is more than enough. And how about those three Hebrew children? I mean, thrown into a furnace. Come on, you know the story. But God said, in there, I'll be with you. You don't have to worry about the flames. They will not touch you. Neither will the waters overtake you. Because I am in your there. God always has a there. Think about it with me. Peter, the great apostle. Here they were on the lake called Galilee. And there was a storm that had brewed together. And they were in a boat thinking they were going to perish. Suddenly they saw Jesus walking on the water. That's an amazing thing. Peter said, I'm looking around. You know, this doesn't look very good here. I think I want to go there. But let me tell you something. There never looks in the natural like it can support you. Let me tell you about ravens. Ravens are scavengers. They like roadkill. Excuse me, God, you've commanded a raven to feed me? Pass. Time out. Let's try another plan because I don't want any roadkill. But they didn't realize God retrained the raven. God can go beyond the natural. He commanded the raven to fly in the palace of King Ahab, swoop off a leg of lamb, and bring it right over to the brook of Cherith and lay it down untouched so the prophet could eat. Here's Peter getting out of the boat. He said, I'm tired of being here. It's time for me to get over there. But in looking over there didn't make sense in the natural because you can't walk on water. You can't walk in the middle of a storm, but you got to understand something about there. God is there. And if God is there, then I can go there too, man. Come on, look at somebody and say, enough is enough. Say, I'm getting out of here. I'm getting out of here. I'm going there. Because over there is where God has already prepared a place for you and me. Now you think about it. If it wasn't for Peter getting out of the boat, everybody else would have been content where they've been and had been all along. But they're watching him now. Man, look at it. He's walking on the water. But then when he started to sink, you know a lot of them people that like to stay back, they were all happy. See, I told you. You should have stayed here with us. No. Because where you are, we ain't going nowhere. Because I am not about to die here. Matter of fact, there's a story in the Bible about four lepers. Maybe you read that story. The Bible said that they were outcast from the town and they were about to starve to death. They looked at each other. They said, why are we going to sit here? Because we're just going to die. Why don't we go on over there and see if there be something over there? Because here ain't nothing. Listen, where you and I have been living as Christians, you ain't got nothing. Pardon the vernacular, but you haven't got no breakthrough. You're still busted. You're still disgusted. You ain't got no joy. I mean, we got to shout. Sing, clap, dance, just to get you to smile. If joy got on some of us as Christians, I think our face would begin to crack. So the four lepers said, what do we got to lose? See, that's the problem. We still think we're going to lose something if we leave here. You haven't gone far enough yet. You haven't got enough pain in your life yet. You haven't got enough disappointment yet. But hold on, because it'll come. But there's no reason for you to have to wait that long. You might as well just pack your bags, believe God at his word, and just like the prophet, speak to that which is confronting you and expect that God will open up a there. And there those four lepers went. And the Bible said, I don't know if the Bible says this, but the Bible said the bacon was still popping in the skillet. The Cheerios were still dancing in the cereal bowl. Come on, somebody. The muffins were still baking in the oven. And they walked in and there was nobody there. They just sat down and ate all they wanted to eat. And they said, man, we can't just sit here all by ourselves when we know all them people back there are starving. We got to are there. See, the people that are there always remember who's back over here. We've got to bring people out and bring them into the there. The supernatural provision of God. God has a plan for every person's life in here. We ought to be so thankful. We ought to get so excited. Like, I can't hardly wait to see what God's going to do for you, baby. I know God's got something for you. Oh, I know. I know you've been under it, but you ain't going to stay under it here. You're going to go over there, and God's going to provide a supernatural increase. You see, I'm telling you, church, it's time that we get dissatisfied with the control and the dominance of what we've lived under. And it's time we start looking for the there. If you are here this morning under another person's control, maybe your past's control, maybe a failure's control, maybe a situation that has blown up on you and it's controlling you, maybe the enemy's whispering in your soul, telling you that you'll never break through, maybe you got a fear of tomorrow, a fear of now, a fear of other people. Let me tell you something. God has a place. And he will take you there. If you'll just begin to speak to that thing. If you and I will just get the prophetic utterance of God. And say, look, I don't feel it. I don't see it. I don't even know it's going to come to pass. But I know this. I'm going to commit myself by declaring it. Once you and I declare it, God will open up a there that you and I can run to. And let me tell you what you're going to find when you get there. Real quick, and I won't keep you long now. I'm not going to preach till 3 o'clock. I got somewhere to go. Number one, you're going to find the promises of God there. The promises of God are there. 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 9. Listen to what the scripture says. He tells us in 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 9, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I've commanded a widow there to provide for you. See, that widow's not going to provide for you where you're at. You got to get to there. There is where the provision is. There is where the promise is. Until you get there, you'll not even know that God's ever given you a promise. So why sit here until we die? You know, we've been doing church now for quite a few years in this country, and I don't see a whole lot of revival. I'm talking about with substance. I'm talking about with covenant and commitment. I'm talking about seeing the changes in the lives of God's people and those that are bound in this generation. And outside of all the circuitry, all that carnival atmosphere, all of that hype atmosphere, we just kind of pump it up. And we know how to sing it and how to preach it and how to show it on TV. But when it gets down to it, our nation is still going to hell in a handbasket. And it's time that God get a people who say enough is enough, and we are going to get out of here and get over there. Because the promises of God say, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But watch, there's more. And thy house. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. Say it with me. My God. There it is up on the screen. Come on, let's say it. Are you got it? Well, you know it. Shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He can use a raven. He can use things that don't normally work. Like Rich's testimony. You don't give up $20,000 worth of business to help your church. He spent 2 weeks up on a scaffolding, installing, running wires, putting things together. $20,000. Calls were coming in. No, I can't do it. I've committed myself to my church. His partners, business associates, would tell him, that's a foolish thing to do. He said, no, I'm giving this to God. Now they're not saying that. Matter of fact, he's calling them and giving them the work that he can't get to. Come on, say it with me. You got that scripture, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19? There it is. Come on, let's do it. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You see, the promises of God are there, but so are the provisions of God. The provisions of God. Say this myth with me. Where he guides, He provides. Now, I know that's a cute little saying, but it'll help you when you're on your journey to there. Some of you don't even understand why you're heading the direction you're heading. Some of you don't even know why you're here this morning. You thought, my God, I came into a church, thought I was going to hear gospel music. This is one crazy place. These people are fanatical. These people are weird. I don't know why I'm here. Hey, listen, it's a setup! God has a plan for you. There's something here because where He guides, He provides. Say it with me again. Where He guides, He provides. But listen to this. Not only are the promises there and the provision of God, but so is the providence of God. The very providence of God. 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 4. And it shall be that you shall drink from the brook, because I've commanded those ravens to feed you. And then in verse 9, and arise, go to Zarephath, because the brook eventually dried up, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I've commanded a widow there to provide for you. This is an amazing thing, the providence of God. I love this part. Did you know that God's not contained by time and space? I love that about God. He can transcend my time. That's why we can say, my times are in your hands. That's why we can say, the steps of a righteous person are ordered of the Lord. God's already been there before I take one step. The providence of God speaks powerfully because He's not bound by time and space. My need this morning is evidence of God's supply that's on waiting on me. But you see, God's supply is in my there, not in my here. So I just got to figure out how to get from here to there. And I found out that if Elijah did it, I can do it. I'm not letting anything control me anymore. I'm not letting people control me. You know, that was one of the most freeing moments that I ever had as a pastor, that I'm not letting people control me anymore. I'm not trying to win an election. I'm not trying to be the pastor of the year. I'm just trying to be the messenger of God. You don't have to like me, but you have to love me. You know, when you can get free of those things that hinder you and bind you, when you can understand that God does not plan for you and me to live under the dominion of other people, the opinions of people, or even the rejection of people. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You see, this is the powerful God that you and I serve, and my need is evidence of God's supply. And you know what's cool about that? Is that here God is talking to Elijah, and the need was in Elijah's life. But God speaks on both ends of time, which really blows me away. He's telling Elijah, go to the brook, I'm going to command a raven. He's already talked to the raven. Hey, look, when Elijah comes, you know, he's about 5'7". He's got a little beard, wears this white robe. You'll see him when he comes. He's going to be sitting there looking around like, oh yeah, right, God, come on. He'll have this kind of look on his face of doubt. The raven goes, okay, I got it. When he comes, feed him that leg of lamb from Ahab's table. So in other words, God speaks on both ends of time. So your need is testimony of God's supply in waiting. If you have a need and you know that my God shall supply most of my needs according to His inability in heaven, right? No, God shall supply all my needs. If I really believe that, that means if I have a need, if I just get to there, it's going to be supplied because He's already spoke to the raven. My need is a testimony that my need is in supply and it's waiting on me to get there. He spoke to a widow at Zarephath. He said, now listen, when this prophet comes, I want you to take care of him. I want you to feed him. God said, I want you to go to Zarephath. There I've commanded a widow to take care of your needs. God speaks on both ends of time. You don't know who He's talking to about you. You don't know who He's talking to about your future, about your destiny. Listen to me right now. God is talking about you. Yeah, He is. And it's good. Come on, look at somebody and say, it's good. God's talking about you and it's good. I love that. I love that about God. He makes the natural do unnatural things. He said, look, there's going to be a barrel that's never going to give up in its meal. There's going to be a cruise that's going to pour out oil. Now, I don't know about you, but when I look in my encyclopedias, when I look online, when I Google it, barley flour comes from a field. You don't grow it in a barrel. God said, I don't need a field. I can do what I want because I'm God. And if I want to grow meal out of a barrel, that's my party. God said, I can do whatever you need me to do. That's why he said, tell him I am that I am. I'm El Shaddai. I'm the many-breasted one. I can meet all your needs. What do you need? I'm that too. And so, you know, oil comes from the vine. Oil comes from an olive. Oil comes from a tree. Oil comes from the ground. Not in God's kingdom. It comes from a cruise. And it just kept pouring and it kept pouring and it kept pouring. God will do in your natural life very unnatural things. He will find you when you get there. Don't you worry about it. And don't you be afraid to leave here. Because here is not where God has destined for you and me to be. You see, I love where we are right now this morning. But I'm not planning on staying here. That's what some problems are with some denominations and some churches. We just want to keep repeating where we've been. We want to talk about what God has done in the past. Well, give God all the glory for that. But you know what? God's not limited to yesterday. God's not the same just because he did that yesterday. He's going to do it today. Let me tell you something. God has something brand new for you and me. So don't judge tomorrow based on where you've been. Don't be like one of those lepers who think that you're not going to make it and that there's no hope. Let me tell you something. When you believe God, he will supply all your need and you can expect victory in your life. And then finally, I've got to share this. Not only will God show you his promises, his provision, his providence, his power, but he will also show you his protection. Before I talk about protection, let me just say this about power. Do you remember the little boy that was raised from the dead? Elijah raised the little boy from the dead?
Yeah.
You know where that happened? There. It didn't happen here. You mean to tell me, preacher, that that boy would have never been raised had Elijah never spoke to that which was controlling him? I don't know, but that's the sequence of the scripture. Right. It would appear that Elijah finally said, enough's enough. When he did it, there was revealed to him. He got to the brook Cherith. The ravens did unnatural things. A barrel grew meal. A cruise began to produce oil. And suddenly, a boy had died. I believe that when we get there, we're going to be used in a very powerful way. I'm telling you, we're just human beings. We're just people that put our pants on and our shoes on like everybody else. But let me tell you something. Because we're willing to get there, God's going to endue us with power. As a matter of fact, I think I've read that in the Bible. Ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You see, this protection is pretty weird because Ahab was trying to kill Elijah. He sent out one group after another looking for him. And it's an interesting thing. If you read the scripture, I think it's in 1 Kings chapter 18. Do you have that next scripture? It tells us, no, 18. 18, yeah, 10. As the Lord their God lives, there is no nation or kingdom where my master has not sent someone to hunt for you. And when they said, he's not here, he took an oath from the kingdom or nation that they could not find you. In other words, every time that the king Ahab would send out people looking for Elijah, they'd say, he's not here. Did you know why he wasn't here? Because he's there. I know that's a play on words, but let me tell you something. It's truth. The devil expects you to be in your depression because you've always been there. The devil expects you to be in living in regret. He expects you to be under your addiction. He knows exactly where you are. But when you speak to the controlling power and that entity that's been trying to dominate you, and God opens up a there, here comes the devil looking at trying to find you here. Here under that alcohol. Here under that pornography. Here under that failure. Here under that canopy of regret and depression. But he can't find you because you don't exist there anymore. You've made a transition into a new world. And that's what God wants to do to each and every one of us. I want to encourage you today, you and I are on the brink of the greatest release and manifestation of the kingdom of God that history has ever seen. I don't believe it's going to be like anything we've ever witnessed. I don't think it's going to be like anything that we've ever read about. I don't think it's going to be like anything anybody has ever reported. I think God's going to rewrite history, and he's going to rewrite it with your life and my life if we will just speak to that which has been dominating you. So I want to pray for you right now, no matter what it is. Maybe it's a marriage failure. Maybe it's a child that is on Oxycontin. Maybe it's a business that seems to be losing clients instead of gaining clients. Maybe it's regret over woulda, shoulda, coulda. Maybe it's some other fact of rejection in your life as a child. Or maybe you've committed an act, a sin that you can't get over, and you feel like God has never forgiven you. You know what that is? That is nothing but control and dominance of a lying devil. I want you to know today, God has forgiven you. When he was suspended between heaven and earth, he hung there and said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Finally, Jesus said this, "In this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world." He goes on to say, "I'm leaving now. I'm going to prepare a place for you. Where I am, there you may also be." There's a place. Guys, there's a place in God where you don't have to live under that domination and control. Ladies, there's a place in God where you can be free and have the joy of the Lord. And you can have your meaning and your life back. Today, that's what we're going to pray. We're going to pray that everybody in this room would begin to experience the abundant life of Jesus Christ. Let's stand to our feet, shall we? I want to close with this. Told the prophet, "I want you to go there and dwell." That word in the Hebrew is very powerful. So before you start thinking of all kinds of other things you got to do, just give me about 60 more seconds. The word dwell means set up household and don't leave. There's been moments where we get there, but then we go back to where we come from. This time, you're not going back. This time, you're going to set up household and you're going to dwell there, never to return, because enough is enough. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you today that you have brought us to this place to give us opportunity to get to another place in you. We're not content from where life has been. We want more. We are hungry for you, God. We desire more from you, Jesus, and we want to move in to the destiny that you have planned for our lives. Touch now, I pray, every man, woman, boy, and girl. While your heads are bowed, you say, "Pastor, I'm fed up. Enough is enough. I'm leaving here, and I'm looking for there." And if that's you today, you feel the prompting of the Holy Spirit, I want you to get out from where you're standing, come to this altar, and just pray and seek the Lord as a testimony that you're not going to stay where you've been. If God's been speaking to you, would you do it now? All over this room, you say, "That's me. I've got to leave there. I've got to leave here, and I'm going to there. I'm going to pursue God like I've never pursued before, because I know this is my destiny." It's not because I preach this message. It's because the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart. Just come to the front. You don't have to do anything. Just pray. Just present yourself before God. Because God has a plan of eternity for your life and my life. No doubt about it. And as you come, I'm praying that the Holy Spirit would begin to show you all the provision, all the protection, all the providence, all the promises that he has created in that new place for you. Father, reach your hand out to these. Father, you see the lives of every man, woman, boy and girl, And Lord, you want to touch them. You want to change them. You want to bring them into a new reality. Father, giving you all the glory and praise. We thank you for them as they enjoy their journey with Jesus. And we give you praise and glory, God. In your name we ask. Amen and amen. While they're pursuing God, here's what I'd like for you to do. The survey cards that you filled out, if you did not put it in the offering basket on the way out, would you turn them in to our ushers? I appreciate that so much. While we're praying, there's something I like to say. Live right, love everybody, and pray hard. This is why I say it. Live right. If you don't, you're going to get caught anyway. Love everybody. Don't pick and choose. Jesus doesn't like it. Pray hard, not light, because the season is evil and God's coming again. Be happy and be joy-filled and love somebody this morning. God bless you. We'll see you Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. Great to be with you. Altar ministers, if you can get in there, why don't you pray for the people?